You'll open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 27. We speak about often, and in fact, we even sing about it at times, that we're supposed to count our blessings. And when we do, it usually centers around family, provision, health, our country. There is a thing called universal grace. Some call it common grace. And that is that every person in the world, whether they believe in Christ or not, have experienced blessing from God. The unbeliever has experienced the wonderful love of family, satisfaction in a good day's work. The rain falls on the field of the wicked just as it does the Christian, right? These are blessings, and we should count them, and we must be giving thanks to the Lord for them. But those kind of blessings are not what I'm referring to today. There is a blessing that is deeper than the ocean's depth. It's higher than the stars of heaven, richer than all of the wealth of the world. It's a blessing that only comes in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And it's only given to those who are in a covenant with God. This blessing will never be known nor experienced by anyone outside of Jesus Christ. Any unbeliever, like Esau, that we will read in a little bit. And so whatever condition you may find yourself this morning, it is this one blessing that your soul craves for. It is this blessing that you require to be reconciled to God, to have your sins forgiven, and that you can find eternal life. And without this blessing, if we do not have this one blessing, there will come a time when all blessings will come to an end. So I pray that in the wisdom of the Spirit, we can look and read this text together. Genesis 27, beginning in verse 26. Then his father Isaac said to him, and this is Jacob, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him, and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." And as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" He answered, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it all before you came, and I blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed." As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." Then he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Behold, I have made him Lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother, but when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck." Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." Let's pray. Our Father, we have just read your words. We believe that this is true history. We believe that these people truly existed. Lord, we believe, though, that you have written this for deeper reasons. So, God, may you open our eyes that we may see it. That we may see the wonderful blessing that you have offered to us in Christ and the terrible existence it is without you. Father, I thank you that you have given this message. I thank you for this church that centers its very existence around your word. That we know we are nothing, we know nothing, we have no wisdom apart from you and the fear of you. So, Father, as I speak, may it be your voice they hear. May you change our minds. May you soften our hearts. And may you bring us into conformity with the image of your Son in all holiness and righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's kind of a continuation of the story that I was reading and preaching on 2 weeks ago. If you weren't there for that, it is online, so you can hear that and kind of get caught up on where we are in the story of Esau and Jacob and Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac, the father, is about to bless Jacob, though he believes it's his son Esau. Jacob is disguised as his older brother. And the Lord intended to bless Jacob all along. We really stressed this a couple weeks ago. It was God's full intention to bless Jacob. He chose the younger brother over the older. And yet Jacob has strived for this blessing in such a sinful and deceitful way. So pretending to be Esau to his old father, whose eyesight has dimmed, he approaches. In a nutshell, the blessing is this, that the earth is yours and may it sustain you. And may the people be yours and may they serve you. Many people see this as just a normal patriarchal blessing. But understanding that this is spoken out of the covenant family, the chosen family of God who's bringing forth into the world blessing through a coming Redeemer, we have to realize that this carries with it much more depth than any other family would. So especially as Isaac repeats God's words first spoken to Abraham, you see that there? He says at the end of 29, "Cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be everyone who blesses you." That's the Abrahamic covenant. God had spoken that to Isaac's father, Abraham, and it was true for him. The blessing, in fact, now solidified to Isaac's generation, he is now wanting to pass this on to when his own knowledge, it should be my firstborn. Isaac is still intent. Remember, favoritism is strong in this family. The parents have their own favorite kid. And Isaac's favorite is Esau, even though he knows Esau has lost his birthright. He sold it. And yet he is still intent on giving him the patriarchal blessing. Rebekah, on the other hand, loves Jacob and hears that the blessing is about to be passed down and comes up with this plan, and he goes in and really, I mean, it works. Let's not fool ourselves. Sometimes sin seems to work, but it's not the best way. So he tells Jacob, thinking it's Esau, "May the world, may all of its goodness and fruitfulness be for you. May you ever be wealthy and provided for. And may you have all of the grain and the wine," which was signs of wealth and provision. "May that be for you. And may all the nations come and serve before you. May you have authority on earth." Right? And if you think about this, it's tying in all of Genesis. Isn't this really what God set Adam up for? To be the authority on earth in his name? And that he would care and tend for the garden and it would provide for all of its needs. And he was to rule over all of the world. So this whole thing is keeps passing down. But unfortunately, because of sin, it's being passed down to sinful people. So we have to understand that this blessing, this one blessing that keeps getting passed down, doesn't end with Adam, it doesn't end with Noah, it doesn't end with Abraham, and it doesn't end with Isaac, and it's not going to end with Jacob. They're very key people in God's plan of redemption, but they are not the fulfillment of it. So let me read verses 28 and 29 again, but I want you to have in mind this time the Lord Jesus Christ. "May God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine, and let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." That makes sense. That fits, because Jesus is the end. It's all about him. It's all about him. Too many times, I'm sure I have failed in my preaching at times in making this book about us and making it, like, where are we in this story? And how does it bless us in this story? How does it make us look good in this story? And yet, it's not about us. This is about the Lord restoring holiness to this world, and he's doing it through his son, Jesus. Jesus is the hero of this story. But there is a blessing for Jacob. He's going to live with this blessing on him. This prophetic blessing placed over him was true. And you'll see it in certain ways. I mean, the Lord certainly is going to bless him with abundance, although there's going to be times, too, when he is going to suffer during famine. We're going to see that in Genesis 2. He struggled against the powers of this world, but then there's going to be a time when he goes into Egypt and he meets the Pharaoh, who is the most powerful man on the planet at the time. And in coming face to face with Pharaoh, what does Jacob do? But he blesses him. So you see this blessing take root in Jacob's life, but it's not ultimately fulfilled in Jacob's life. So may our minds be on the Lord Jesus, because it's him that we have to think on when we talk about one blessing. Because it says in 1 Timothy 6:14, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? This is who we're talking about. The appearing of Jesus, which he will display at the proper time. He, Jesus, who is the blessed, right? Not a blessed, not one of, not in the line of. He is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Doesn't that sound like a fulfillment of this blessing? Also in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, talking about, we all go to this passage to talk about the blessings we received in the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he has blessed us, but where does he bless us? In Christ. Why? Because all blessing resides in the Lord Jesus. If we are to have true, eternal, abundant blessing from God, it is found in no place else than in Jesus Christ. In Him, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It tells me that there is no blessing, even in heaven, outside of the Lord Jesus. It is foolish for us. It is foolish for us to try to attain the blessing of the Lord through our own efforts, through our own righteousness, through our own abilities, through our own wisdom, because it's never going to attain that. We cannot find the blessing of heaven inside of us. Only in Jesus, who is God, the blessed one. Jesus is the blessed one, and in whom is all spiritual blessing. This blessing spoken over Jacob came from God, right? It came from God. These are inspired words that was given to Isaac to speak over his son in carrying on this purpose and plan to bring blessing to the whole world. Spoken over Jacob, what did it do to the Lord Jesus? It would cause him and his own to come, to be born in flesh, to be crucified on a cross, for sin to be transferred to his own body, and to be raised to new life, so that we will have access to that one blessing. And we do so through faith. And in that faith that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is our King and our Lord, we find the blessing of Jacob. So we read Genesis and we go, what does this have to do with me? I get God is planning this and He's, you know, carrying forth this plan, and right now He's working with Jacob, but what does that have to do with me? The blessing of Jacob is the blessing we all need. Because this blessing that we find in the Lord Jesus, He is now offering and sharing with us, that we will have the abundance of our needs provided for. The physical needs, right? That He says, I am your provider, I'm your Father, I give you all good things. And in heaven, which is described as a new heaven and a new earth, there's trees that give abundance of fruit 12 months a year. And that we will never be lacking in the new kingdom. And that we, it says, will reign with Jesus. We will sit on His throne with Him, and we will judge the nations. So that it says that people will serve Jesus, yes, but He's going to share it with His church. Incredible. But then in walks Esau. And Esau had been told by his father to go and hunt game and bring it in. Probably barbecue it, maybe smoke it. Probably didn't smoke it, actually. It was pretty quick. But he brought it in, exactly how his father loves to eat it. His father already had a meal. His father already gave the blessing. And so this dialogue happens where Isaac is bewildered. He thought he already blessed Esau. And Esau now comes in and he smells like Esau. He feels like Esau, a man of the field, a hairy man, right? But now even his voice sounds like Esau. And he goes, oh, and they both instantly knew what just happened. That heel grabber, Jacob, he did it again. And I love how Esau says, he stole it from me once and he stole it from me again. Esau, you voluntarily sold it the first time. That's on you. That is on you. And we have to realize here, yes, Esau was born first, but from here, he is no longer the firstborn. He lost that status. At the selling of his birthright, which was the primary son, you know, usually it was the firstborn one. He would receive the majority of the inheritance. He would carry forward the family name. He was kind of the leader, the new patriarch. He sold all of that because he was hungry. Because he thought he was going to die of hunger and he wanted some soup. And we've been witnessing the foolishness of Esau, not just in that, but in his marriages. And now here we see him throw a fit. He, in regret, and in anger and in resentment and in bitterness, he is weeping before his father. God never intended, and I'm going to show a verse later, but God never intended to bless Esau. God chooses who he chooses. And he always intended to choose Jacob. He had no right to this blessing. He already sold the birthright. He was no longer the status of firstborn. He did not have a right to this blessing, but oh, he craved it. He wanted it. He lusted for it. And it says that he cried out with exceedingly great and bitter cry. And that word bitter is used more than once in the Bible. One time it's used with Hannah, if you read in the first chapter of 1 Samuel. She's bitterly crying before the Lord because of a closed womb. You read about in the book of Ruth, her mother-in-law changes her name to Mara, to bitter, because both, I mean, her husband and all of her sons have died. And so you think about that bitterness and the distress. He is crying. This erupts from his lungs. And I think about Esau as he walks into his father's room. And it reminded me of a parable that Jesus told in Matthew 25. Jesus told this story. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. And as the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. You hear Esau there. I want my blessing. But he answered, truly I say to you, I don't know you. Watch, therefore. That's a warning to us now. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour, meaning of Jesus' return. And we look again to Hebrews. I've mentioned this verse before. But it says, for you know that afterward, this is Esau, when he desired to inherit the blessing, right, when we're talking about right now, he was rejected. The door was closed. For he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. He didn't seek repentance with tears. He sought the blessing. He wouldn't repent. There was no repentance in his heart. Thus, all of his whining and groveling and weeping was for nothing. And I mentioned 2 weeks ago that there is a godly grief and an ungodly grief. A godly grief leads to repentance. An ungodly grief does not. Esau had this ungodly grief. And the prophetic word spoken over him was far from a blessing. You notice he asked his father, do you only have one blessing? Do you only have one, father? And his father doesn't answer the question, but it's implied, yes, there's only one. Only one. The firstborn's the only one who receives the blessing. There's only one. And Esau, because you were late, because the door is shut, because you are foolish, because you lack repentance, you do not receive it. And Isaac speaks over his son, his favorite son, and because of the Lord's Spirit, has to say this to him. Away from the fatness of the earth you will live. And your whole life will be characterized by violence. Not just violence with other nations, but even violence against your own brother. There will come a time when you grow restless and you're going to break the yoke from your neck that he had put on you. So that means that Esau's descendants are going to serve Jacob's descendants. And remember, that's the nation of Edom, is Esau's descendants. And yeah, for most of their existence, they were under the rule of Israel. But there does come a time when they break that yoke. And I'm going to show it to you. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 21. It's during the reign of King Jehoram of Judah. And there's a reason why Edom was able to break the yoke. It says, in his days, Jehoram, Edom, that's Esau's descendants, revolted from the rule of Judah, and they set up a king of their own. Then Jehoram passed over with his commanders and all his chariots, and he rose by night and struck the Edomites who had surrounded him and his chariot commanders. So Edom revolted from the rule of Judah to this day. At that time, Libna, which is another city-state that's also revolting, also revolted from his rule. Because, and here's why, he had forsaken the Lord, the God of his fathers. It actually says in there that King Jehoram walked in the ways of the wicked King Ahab. Because Israel's kings were walking away from the Lord, serving false gods, then Edom had the opportunity under the blessing of God to break that yoke and become their own independent people. Only because Israel failed, not because of anything Edom could do themselves. Esau received far from a blessing from God, and he's angry, and he's resentful, and he's bitter. And we read in that last verse of 41, he is now harboring murder in his heart. Sounds a lot like how Jesus taught, isn't it? You've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. The blessing given to Jacob clearly stated that those who curse you, Jacob, will be cursed. And immediately, what does Esau do? He curses him. He says, I hate that guy. In fact, I hope my father dies soon, because I'm not going to kill him while my father's alive. I love my father. But once he's gone, Jacob's toast. And what did God say? If you curse Jacob, you're cursed by God. So we can feel sorry for Esau, but listen, he's bringing it on himself. He is just one terrible decision after another. He is just one foolish decision after another, starting with the selling of the birthright and then the marrying of the Canaanites, who are the cursed people. And now, so he's now in covenant with cursed people. And now he curses the blessed one. So he is bringing upon himself curse. And Esau chose to harbor ill will toward his brother, and he wished his father would die so he could have opportunity to kill Jacob. He follows in the path of Cain, who killed his brother Abel. He follows in the path of Lamech that you read in early in Genesis, who kills two men. Romans chapter 9. It says, and not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing, either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, meaning it doesn't matter what Esau or Jacob did. In the womb, they did nothing, but God chose. But because of him who calls, she was told the older will serve the younger. That was God's determining plan all along. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated, meaning Jacob I chose, Esau I did not. And here we get that ground where we see God's sovereignty in all of it, that it happened just as he determined, just as he purposed. He chose Jacob, not because Jacob was special or was more righteous or anything. He chose Jacob because he chose Jacob. He chose the younger one to show it was his purpose and not man's purpose. And he did not choose Esau. But we can't get away from the fact that Esau deserves the curse. Right? He deserves it. He's sinned against the Lord in so many ways. He's walked in foolishness. He has not feared the Lord, and he has cursed the one who is blessed. So though God did not choose him, he also deserves to be, as Jesus said, in the hell of fire. Esau would serve his brother from then on. Their descendants would continually be at war with each other. And the darkness that he chose, right? He chose it. The darkness of being removed from God, who is light, blinded him to wisdom, life, and blessing. So the only reason Jacob is blessed is grace. And the reason that Esau is cursed is justice. And God is right in both. So then we come to us. And the story is the same. The spiritual truths are the same. There is still only one blessing. Apart from Jesus, if we do not believe in the Lord Jesus as the only way unto the God, if we reject the cross, if we do not believe we need forgiveness from him, if we think it's just myths and stories and legends, if we believe Jesus was just simply a man who was a good teacher and a good example, it says we are removed from the blessings of God and we are cursed like Esau and we deserve it. And we live in darkness and we make foolish decisions apart from heavenly wisdom. And if we put it in today's vernacular, we're literally digging our own grave. But there is a blessing available. A blessing that leads to eternal life. A blessing that which carries with it every other blessing. It is found in the promises of God that we have read in Genesis, fulfilled in Jesus, imparted to us by faith through grace. I don't know where all of you are at with the Lord, but this is of primary importance that you need to take into consideration. For not one of us has been promised by God that we're going to drive home safe today. Not one of us has been promised that we're going to make it to next Sunday. Not one of us has been promised that Jesus won't come back this week. In fact, I hope he does. But apart from the covenant that is found in Christ, when he comes back, those who are outside of him will never experience blessing again. Everything good will be taken away. And he calls it a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place of darkness, a place of eternal torment and flame. And that is the right thing for us, sinners. But for us who are convicted by the Holy Spirit's work and we realize sin is our fault and sin is what we have done against God, the ultimate and only authority, and that Jesus is the only one who can forgive us because really we've sinned against him. We need his forgiveness. And it is by his blood that we can be cleansed from all that. And we can be imparted his righteousness. And he makes that great exchange where he becomes sin on our behalf so that we can become the righteousness of God. And in that, he says, you are now in my covenant. I promise myself to you. I am your God and you are my people forever and ever. Then, when he comes back, it will be a day of celebration. And we will walk in like the wise virgins who get to enjoy the wedding feast and be with the bridegroom forever and ever. That's the eternal application of this message. But what about today? What about right now, as we face difficult situations, as we face the unknown, as we face relationships and work and all these things that keep us busy and keep our minds busy and keep our hearts busy? I'll say this, that if you have the one blessing found in Christ, it does bring peace and joy to every day, no matter what we face. It doesn't mean that there aren't days of weeping and sorrow. It doesn't mean that there aren't days of anger. It doesn't mean that we don't have emotions. It just means that the covenant we have with the Lord and his promises are so true and solidified in here that the covenant controls our emotions. And our emotions don't control us any longer. And we have this joy set before us that there is coming a kingdom where heaven and earth meet, and they'll be united forever, and we will be in the presence of the living God who loves us so much. And the blessing of Aaron will be upon us, who said this, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." So if you'll bow your heads with me, I want you, if you have not put your trust in Christ, you're not sure if you're saved, pray about that to the Lord right now. If you have come in here this morning a Christian and you know that you're in a covenant with the Lord, will you give him those things that seem to steal your peace and steal your joy? And allow his promises to take over and give you peace. Our God, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your promises. I thank you for your purpose. Father, I can't stand here and say I completely get it or understand it. Your thoughts are far above mine, and your ways are far greater than ours. But I do believe that they are so good, that you are the only blessed one. So, Father, I thank you for the blessings you give us. I do thank you for the material blessings and the health blessings and the family blessings and the church blessings. But in all that, I thank you for that blessing we have in Christ, that we can be cleansed of sin, from sin, united with you, called your children, bound to you in covenant, that we do not have to fear the world no longer. For we have an awesome and good God with us, always. Lord, I pray that you'll extend that blessing to those here who live without it for so long. May they come to you in faith. May they trust you. May they cry out to you. May they repent of sin, something Esau didn't do. May they confess it to you and rely on you, that you are the only one who can forgive. And Lord Jesus, if it is your will you come back this week and take us home? In Jesus' name, amen.